Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
Just a couple of phrases there, or the last sentence, for when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Can you think of where in the scriptures that reference is found? Of the fiery trial. Amen. Anyone else? Any other places? Yeah, Job. I think it's Job 23. It'll come up in a lesson, either Job 19 or 23, which it does reference that whole, the second and the first, I'm sorry, second and next to the last verse. Second and next to the last sentences. He knows the end of each path that I take, for when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. And that's Job. So we're going to be looking at that today, trials of life. And we're all encountering, experiencing trials of life. How do we handle those? So before we go any further, let's pray. Let's thank the Lord for the privilege we had to get together. Alex, would you pray for us, please? Amen. Thank you for that. Well, the memory verse that we're working on deals with temptations, and looking back over the putting together of the whole sequence of events and topics for this study, I realized I should have put this lesson right after the one on temptation. But nevertheless, it comes after in but not of the world. So, but if you can remember, if you were here during the temptation lesson, this is a verse that really, we spent 2 weeks on that. But let's say the verse, and then if you're able to say it from memory, we'll hear from you. James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, neither tempts he any man. Who's ready to say it today from memory? Somebody? Go ahead, Jim. Very good. Anyone else? Next week will be our last Sunday. We have 5 Sundays in the month, so we have next one. Go ahead, Michael.
Now let no man say when he is tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, nor tempts he any man.
Okay, good. Good. Amen. Anybody else? All right, while it's blacked out, or blanked out, I should say, let's say it from memory, shall we? James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. Very good. Well, dealing again with trials, we look at the song Day by Day. And it's interesting when I'm looking at these songs and considering the ones dealing with comfort or with trials, very meditative and very contemplative melody. And I wondered, there must be a purpose for that. When you're talking about trials, I don't think you'd have like a John Sousa march music, would you? No, it probably wouldn't fit. But Day by Day, it's number 448 as we sing.
Day by day, every day's just a moment.
Them and have them no more. But until then, how do we handle the trials of life? Well, when you're looking at the opening paragraph of our lesson today, God has built into the Christian life a growth process called trials. Growth process. How many of you ever grew up and you had growing pains? Yeah. I'll never forget as a kid, eight, nine, 10, I would get headaches. My mom took me to the doctor, and the doctor couldn't find anything. That was before all the technology and all the other things today. And it came up to the conclusion that I had growing pains. If you look at the elementary pictures, I remember as a kid in our elementary class, we'd always have a group photo. I don't know if that was true in your class, but they would also, they station and put the kids in the front row who were the smallest. And then in the back row, there were the taller ones. In second grade, Miss Penchard's class, there were two of us that were taller than anybody else. So there I was, you'd have the kids in the second row like this, and you go up to here. Oh, there was me, and next to me was a dear girl named Thelma. Thelma Note. I don't know whatever happened to Thelma, how tall she got, but growing pains. How many of you ever had been in athletics and you went through a process whereby you had to experience no pain, no gain? Did you ever hear that? Yeah. So in the weight room, I remember when I was playing basketball, we didn't do a lot of bulk, but we did a lot when it came to certain strength. And no pain, no gain, guys. Oh, yeah, I hated that. We used to run at the end of the practices, what were called suicides, wind sprints. And you would start at the end line, go to the foul line and then back, go to midcourt line and back, go to the other foul line and back, go to the end line and back, under 30 seconds. And I would wake up in the middle of the night. I was not in shape. That was to get us into shape. All the soccer players and all the football players, when they came, they were pretty well in shape. But I would wake up in agony because I had such pain in my shins, in my quad, and my mother thought it'd come rolling in. Are you okay? But it subsided. But it was beneficial to me. Sometimes when you think of trials, yep, that's what it is, trials. Oh, no. That tends to be our reaction when it comes to trials. But they are really good. And they're very beneficial for you. Actually, Scripture records numerous examples of believers who were tried, encountered trials, tribulations, and troubles. Now, when you study the Bible, God shows trials are not only to be considered something, they are not to be considered something terrible. And they are not to be viewed with complaint. But you will see, as we go through this lesson, they are to be welcomed, and we respond with a joy and a thanksgiving. More on that in the morning sermon. In His Word, God teaches how that is possible and how you can do that so you can properly manage the trial in order to grow, so you can develop further into Christ's likeness and become matured in the faith. So let's look at some of the terms. We dealt with the word temptation. And you remember when we looked at the word temptation, it can carry two meanings, right? One meaning could be a solicitation to do evil. The other meaning is a testing to prove the worth or the sincerity of the object. Okay? So I didn't put that in here, and that's when it dawned on me. I should have gone right to this lesson next. But when you look at the terminology, let's look at the three, and they all start with T. So you'd have four, actually, temptation in the Bible. And the only way you'd know whether temptation in the Scriptures is dealing with trials is the context. The context. And so number one, what is one of the words? Trial. The word trial is found in the book of Hebrews and Philippians, 2 Corinthians 12. Oof, what a day this is already. Somebody once said, my tongue is wrapped around my eye teeth. I can't see what I'm saying. Maybe that's what's happening. Trial, it refers to circumstances and experiences God uses either to teach or to correct. Let's look at some of these verses. Ezekiel 14, verse 13. Who would take Ezekiel 14, 13, Jim? How about Hebrews 11, 36, Jack? How about Philippians 4, 12, and 13, Jonathan? And then 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. All right, Michaela. So let's read these in a string. And when the word is used, I didn't write down how often it appears, both in New Testament or Old Testament, but the word basically refers to circumstances, experiences that God uses to teach or correct His people. Ezekiel 14, 13, please.
Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it.
Okay, there are times God will use like a famine, or He will even use others. Because remember when the children of Israel were coming through the wilderness wanderings, and in the book of Hebrews, where He tried them and proved them these 40 years? So the corrective measure was also to bring them to a point where they would be true to God. Okay? Hebrews 11, 36. Okay, so some of them, this is in the Hall of Faith passage where you're listing, starting with Abel all the way down through, and he ends up by saying there's much more that could be written, and there were those who were experiencing trials. And then you go to Philippians 4, 12 and 13.
I know how to be both low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and conquer abundance. I can do all things through Him who strengthens.
Okay, so here Paul is talking about the circumstances that caused him to either be living in plenty or living in lack. Then you go to 2 Corinthians 12, 7.
And lest I should be exalted above measure by the effect of the revelation, the authority of the flesh was given to me, as your seed was buffeted me, lest I be exalted above measure.
Okay, so an external thorn in the flesh, and where did it come from? A thorn in the flesh from Satan, a messenger from Satan to buffet me. And so God can use, just like remember the Job situation, in that heavenly meeting. Have you considered my faithful servant Job? There's none like him. He takes you because you give him everything. All right, well, you can take from him. And he did. And so the instrument, by the way, for trials, instrument for trials is not your own sinful activity. That's not a trial. If you suffer consequences for your sin, that's not a trial. A trial can be Satan, yeah. God can use the devil himself. Remember, Jesus goes up in the wilderness to be tried, to be tested. He's led by the Spirit, by the way, tested. And so the devil himself can be a tool of God. Remember, God used Cyrus, his servant, he says. And God also used Nebuchadnezzar to bring upon the children of Israel correction and a trial that they would have to endure, that they would have to bear. So the instrumentality of that can be various and sundry type of measures, which we're going to look at in just a moment as well. But these are the circumstances, situations that you find yourself in. The second, when you look at that too, the word is to test you, basically. And that is also coming up with the word try, which is number three. When you went to school and you had tests, how many of you couldn't wait until you entered that classroom on that morning to take that test, right? I'll never forget in seminary, we were taught and told, my first year, we had a theology professor. His name was Dr. Warren Van Hetlo. And he was known for just standing up at the blackboard when it was a test time. You had 8, 9 study questions. He would just write on a board, number two. Da-da-da-da. So you'd write out everything that you could remember that he taught on that. And I was hearing about how tough these tests were. So I studied and I studied. And the very first test I got back, my grade, it was a 20. I'm like, what? And then I learned that 20 was like 100. 19 was like a 95. And they're like, wow. And so you get tested. Yeah. There are times you are on your job and you may have probationary periods, right? Or maybe on your job they require certain tests that you have to take. Well, the Christian life, God is going to bring trials into your life. He's going to either bring them directly upon you or he's going to allow them indirectly to you. Make sense? Trials. This is the word that is used when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He went up by the Spirit and he was tested. He was in a trial, all right? So with that being said, number two, tribulations. Oh, these are the tougher ones. Tribulations refer to outside pressures that squeeze or press down upon the believer. It's also translated affliction, persecution. Let's go again with some verses of Scripture. Who would take John 16:33, Gary? How about Acts 14:22, Alex? How about Romans 5:3, Eric? And then Romans 12:12. All right, Michaela. And we'll get some of you again. All right. Let's read them in a string. John 16:33.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Yeah, he says, in the world you will have tribulation. So that implies that these tribulations are largely in part coming from where? The world system. Yeah. Acts 14:22.
Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God.
Yeah, we, through much tribulation, will enter the kingdom of God. That's very encouraging for you believers, is it not? That because you are saved, you are going to encounter tribulations. And again, largely in part, it comes through the world system. Romans 5:3. You know, it's interesting with that verse. He says, we glory in tribulations. And then what does it say? Continue on. Glory in tribulations and?
Knowing that tribulation works patience.
Tribulation works patience. So these squeezings, these pressures are intended to make you patient. Now, the word patient is not standing in a line and watching and waiting until your turn comes. You have to be patient. No, the word patient is the idea of bearing under the pain and the difficulty. It's like the weight on your shoulder and you're able to withstand it, endure it. Yeah, that's the word. Romans 12:12. Yeah, patient in tribulation. I put this little graphic up for you because this kind of identifies what the squeezing is. outside pressures that squeeze or press down. It appears 45 times throughout the whole New Testament. It can also be translated affliction or persecution. And it can involve opposition, mocking, persecution, harassment, along with all the sinful imperfections that come along with it. It's appearing in other passages there. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes, and I've been using this has been my go-to if I'm visiting people in difficulty or in trial or in the hospital, where it says, "Blessed be God, the God of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, so that we, with the comfort that we receive in our tribulations, may comfort those who are also in their tribulation." Jim.
So this tribulation is referring to, you say, so is that different for like the great tribulation?
Yes.
That's a whole different.
Yes.
Would it be the same translation pressure?
Yes.
So that's a different, for a different outcome? Or?
Yeah. Good question, because the Bible does talk about the tribulation. Now, what is that referring to? That is that end time period of 7 years when God is going to try to put the pressure on and squeeze Israel. It's meant for Israel, but the whole world is involved. It's primarily for Israel. It's Daniel's 70th week of years. When Dr. Kevin Cassidy was here back in September, he shared this in the Sunday school hour. Okay? And so it is a specific period of time, but the same definition and process. And so, but tribulation here is individual. There it is Israel, national, and the whole world. Yeah. Make sense? Okay. So that's the second word. The third word, try. Dakamas. I've used this a number of times. It means to prove after testing. It is bringing through an examination process, and it is meant to prove. So let's look and see where the word appears. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Amy? 1 Corinthians 3:13. 2 Corinthians 8:8. Jack? James 1:3. And we're going to camp out on James 1:3 hereafter. 1 Peter 1:7. 1 Peter 1:7, Mary. And then Job 23, verse 10. This is, okay. So this is the, let's read a ministering, then we'll comment. 1 Corinthians 3:13.
"Each one's works will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is."
Okay, so this is used of the end time judgment for the believer, and God, Jesus Christ, will try our works for Him. And that word is by the fires, okay? 2 Corinthians 8:8.
"Speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love."
Ah, to prove, that's the same word, the verb form, dakamazo. To prove what? The sincerity of your love. So it is brought about to show the genuineness and the sincerity, the authenticity of your spiritual character, your love for the Lord, your commitment to death, on and on we go. James 1:3.
"Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience."
Okay, so here now you have the concept of working patience, which tribulation does. Well, trying, testing, proving you, okay? Job, 1 Peter 1:7. Okay, so you have the word testing and try in the same verse here. Job 23:10, here's what we were looking at before.
"But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold."
When he has tried me. Now, here again, when we're looking at the idea, trial by fire, 1 Peter 1:7, it's the idea that how many of you have ever seen like a crucible? When I had class in high school, we had a shop class. We called it shop. The one first semester of the school year, it was wood shop. The second semester, it was metal shop. And part of metal shop, they had a little foundry. And they had a little smelting. So you would melt down aluminum, and we would learn how to make molds in order to make objects. And one of the objects could be a license plate. So you had to mold, but that all, and when the mold came out, there was a few that were imperfect. So what they did was they put that aluminum back into this big clay pot type thing, and they would put it down in there with a bunch of other stuff, and they would put it in this crucible, and the fires would get so hot, it would melt the aluminum. It'd become a liquid. And then you'd have a little scoop, because some of the aluminum you melted down had some, what they were known, imperfection. It was dross. And you would take that little scoop and you would pull that dross off and put it off to the side, because the purpose for that crucible was to bring a more pure metal. And that's what God is doing. You are in the crucible of life. And that's what God is doing. So when you look at these three terms, you can add the fourth one, temptation, which actually carries with it the idea of trials, tribulations, troubles. Trial, tribulation, try, temptation. They are all meant to do what? Well, the word dokimos, again, is to prove the sincerity. God is bringing these into your life to not to see whether it's there, but to bring it about, to bring it forth, so that it would be part of your character and it would be kind of a behavior that now, or an attitude that now, is who you are. You see the clay pots here. One of the ways in which the sellers of the clay pots would make sure that they were making a profit, that they didn't lose anything, because if you made one of these and in the process of firing them and solidifying them, it developed a crack, well, that was no good. Nobody's going to buy a cracked pot, no pun intended. But what they would do, it was that they would take some wax and they would put the wax in the crack, and then they would smooth it over with the clay, and you wouldn't be able to know unless you held it up to the sun and you rotate it. See, that's what the word is doing. It is seeing what is genuine, authentic, and real. Okay? So that is what God is doing in your life. Any comments before we go on? Gary.
I mean, try by fire. I'm not sure where it is, but I think it's in Proverbs where it's gold fired seven times.
Oh!
Yeah. So it's that purification. I assume what it is that they melt gold, skim off the dross, melt it again, skim off the dross.
Yeah, I think so. Yes. Yeah, that's a good process, because that's exactly what it is. Because even in our lives, how many times does it take for us to learn or be corrected? I know. And so, Rosemary. Yeah.
Anyone that's going to be weak in the event.
Yeah.
So they're actively trying. People did actually wash out at that point.
Yeah. And they actually do call it the crucible, if I'm not mistaken.
They do.
Is that for the special forces? Is it like for the Marines who become, it's just all of the, okay. Okay. You go through the crucible. You know, it's interesting. They would borrow the biblical term and consider the biblical meaning to bring about exactly what the purpose is. Interesting. Let's look at a little bit more now. Let's take that. Okay, so the personal aspect of trials. Okay, how does this affect you individually now? Number one, the subject of a trial can be either individual, that's just you, or it could be communal. So when you look at Psalm 26, David himself, he experienced trial, correction, one of those when he chose to number the people. And God said, okay, choose one of three things. God was chastising him, yes, but he was also teaching him through that testing process. And then I cited the 2 Corinthians 1, when an individual goes through a trial. Or it could be a whole nation. Genesis 41, when Pharaoh is dreaming, who is going to be going through that trying time of a known world at that time. Judges chapter 7, that's with Israel, Gideon. Daniel chapter 11, talking about the entire world, Zechariah. In Revelation chapter 2, it's talking about a church. So when you think of these trials, it could be just you, or it could be a community, it could be a nation. So trials, troubles, tribulations, and these testings, most times we're going to look at it as individual, because that's where it hits you. It hits, but it must also be considered that a nation can go through a testing time. Kathy. Correct. Mm-hmm. A trial, that's why earlier I had said, and I wrote in my notes, while God is the originator of your trials, he can use your self-inflicted troubles and the consequences of your sin as a trial. However, it oftentimes must not be viewed, like with Miriam. Remember Miriam? She and Aaron were complaining against Moses. Well, then she ended up having leprosy. And so, well, I guess God... No, your consequences for sin has now brought about a trial upon your life. I had another example. I lied and lost my job, so I guess God's trying my faith. I would not think that is the proper way to approach it. Or I lost my temper, yelled at the kids and made them cry, so God is testing my parenting. I don't think so. So one of the things that we recognize is trials usually come from outside. Ah, we're getting to Abraham. Thank you. Can you hold that thought? Yeah. Okay, so the subject of a trial could be individual. Now, the type of the trial can be either physical. That means health, finances, weather, possessions, etc. Like Job. I used this just the other day to share with someone who is going through a trying time in their life right now. And I shared how Job, in one fell swoop, In a period of a day, probably within hours, he lost all his financial possessions, and he lost his 10 children in one fell swoop. And that would be health. The next one, he suffered affliction health-wise. And so Job was a tried man in many different ways. That's why in James chapter 1, Jim, are you still there in James 1? Can you read verse number 2 for us, please?
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations.
The word diverse. Does anybody else have a different word or a side reference note or a column note? What does diverse mean?
It's multicolored.
Variegated. Multicolored. It is a similar term used of Joseph's coat of many colors. So that means the trials come in all shapes, sizes, durations, when it comes to kinds like this. It could be relational. Could you have a trial in your marriage? Yeah, you could. Could your children bring you and be a trial? Yes, they could. Yeah, they could be very trying at times. How about your workplace? Do you ever have a trying time or a tribulation? You're being squeezed on your workplace. School, about it, teens? Could school be a testing, trying time where God may put you in a position there and building your patience and manifesting from you a genuine faith in Christ? Other believers even. So relational, physical, we can go all different directions because there are so many different types of trials. Okay? Next, the duration. Now, here's where it can get a little bit uncomfortable for us, okay? The duration of trial can either be short, episodic. I was reading in my devotions this morning, And Jesus, the feeding of the 5,000, he says to Philip, to test him, where shall we go and buy bread that we could feed all these people? And Philip says, well, Lord, we have no way of doing this. And in another parallel passage, you feed them. He was doing this to test them. God may do the same thing for you. And that was an episodic. That's a short trial. Even with Abraham, offer up your son, your only begotten son. And he did this to test him, it says, in the passage of Genesis 22. That was an episodic, a three-day, grueling 3 days. How about Joseph in prison? The duration. He was in prison, actually, from the time that he was sold into slavery into Egypt by his brothers until the time that he became the prime minister of Israel, 13 years. From age 17 to 30. Okay? Job. We don't know how long his trial lasted, but it was not lifelong. And then you get the Matthew, Jesus, that's a one-day period, or I should say maybe a few short days. Or it could be chronic. Go back to Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to build you up, and I'm going to make you a nation, and all families of the earth can be blessed in you. He was 75 years of age when that occurred. When was Isaac born? He was 100 when Isaac was born. 25 years. And then Sarah has the idea, let's help God along a little bit. Oh, and now here we are in the Arab-Israeli conflict that is plaguing the entire world since that time. So, by the way, the testing for Abraham was long, but he knew what the result, and he knew what God was going to do. He just had to wait. He had to wait. John 16, we had read that passage earlier. You will have tribulations in the world. Well, when will they stop? Until you're out of the world. The moment you get saved, you're heading for a Christian lifelong journey into trials, troubles, tribulations. Oh. But that's Christianity, right? 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. So he had some kind of physical issue, and that was lifelong. So you may be going through a trial, and your trial, your tribulation, your trouble may be short or it may be long. And we could probably go around the room and look and see how many of you, when it comes to short or long. I think to myself, and I had this conversation just again with the same person this week, trials, and they are tough. But why is God doing this? I said, I don't know if the why question is, because all of us could ask why. And I shared my own personal experience. I could say, well, why did God take my father before I was born? Well, that's not the question I ask. That's my lifelong trial. I am, and I don't know the answer. I have no idea, but you know what? That's my reality. And there's a difference between what I would expect, what I would want, what I would hope, and answers I would get, as opposed to my reality. So I live in my reality. There's certain things I can't change. I can't change certain things. And if God chooses to do what he does, then I glory in my tribulations. And I allow my trials to build my patient, bearing under endurance.
Similar, I was just thinking how a trial, patient, any of those, turn a person either bitter.
Oh yeah.
Or build your faith.
Yeah.
You know,
that's coming up.
It's like you wonder, am I doing something wrong, and then you get this.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because let me ask you this question. How many of you have, when something has gone wrong or something didn't come out like you expected, or an answer to prayer isn't coming, Lord, what did I do wrong? Anybody been there, done that? Lord, why? What is it in me that I'm... Now, there could be a legitimacy, because if I have stepped out of the will of God, I am willfully disobedient, I am harboring unconfessed sin. Yes, well then, I may be encountering something that would be detrimental. But if you go and examine your life and you say, Lord, it just may be a Paul situation. It just may be a Job situation. It just may be a Joseph situation. Because what did Joseph say to his brothers at the end? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And that's the attitude we're going to get to now as we look at we have one more point. The degree of a trial can be either light or severe. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul mentions our light afflictions. Now, also, it all depends on your personality and all depends on who you are. There are some people who, I'll share this illustration. Dawn's not here, but she would attest to this. I'm not going to try to embarrass her, but this is the way it works. I tend to have a higher threshold when it comes to pain or when it comes to alarm. Yesterday, I was working on something in the kitchen, and I accidentally, I think a lid came off, and it came onto the counter with a little bit of a bang. And her response, ha! And I'm like, are you okay? Now, what that means is this. For some people, a light trial can be very heavy. And for other people, a very heavy, severe trial can be very light. Does that resonate with you? Mm-hmm. So we cannot be critical, judgmental when it comes to how people are working through trials, troubles, tribulations. And because, listen, catch this. You are not the standard by which you measure how someone is to handle their trial. Now, there are times where some people will milk the trial for everything they can get out of it. Drama, tears, all kind of notes. And then there's others who just pass it off. I'm fine. How you doing? I'm okay. That's a man thing, right? My wife says to me, honey, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Are you sure? She loves, and I appreciate this, but there are times where as a man, I've got to be able to let her be concerned without becoming annoyed. Anybody ever be there? I'm just going to stop. The degree of a trial, bless your heart. And to be perfectly fair, I think she would say the same thing, right? And that's where together the Bible says when one member of the body suffers, what happens? We all suffer together. And when one member is honored, what do? We all rejoice together. Therefore, with trials, when it comes to a collective trial, we need to be encouraging each other in the midst of the trial. We don't crawl into the pit of misery and commiserate with them. And there is a degree by which we are able to encourage each other in the midst of trial, which goes on to the next point. And so, it varies with individual. It varies within circumstances and situations. All right. What is the response of trials now? We're clicking along pretty good here. What is the response? How do you handle trials? So we've looked at what various terms are used. We looked at the aspects, the features of trials. What do you do now when you're in one of these, no matter if they're short or long, whether they are severe or light, or whether it's collective or whether it's individual, or when it comes to the kind of trial, whether it's physical, relational, whatever. How do you handle it? Number one, be joyful. So you're going to see here, I don't think I have the underlining, but it is be joyful. James 1:2, Jim had already read that. Count it all joy. When, not if, You fall into diverse temptations, trials, troubles, tribulations. Why would you count it all joy? That seems oxymoronic, seems paradoxical, almost seems masochistic. No, this is what he says you are supposed to do. You count it. What does the word count mean? To reckon, to calculate, to view as, deal with. Now, what does the word joy mean? Joy and happiness are two different things. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So what this means is if you're looking at the connections here, when I am Holy Spirit controlled and a trial, a temptation, a tribulation comes upon me, God directly does something or a person or a circumstance or a situation, a short or a long, a heavy or a light, being controlled by the Holy Spirit means I will view this situation with knowing God is in total control. God is at work. God will bring me through this. He may not take it from me, but He will bring me through it. By the way, when you are viewing a trial with joy, where is your focus? God. You know, often if you have no joy, where is your focus? Either on the circumstance, which means it's yourself. And that is a danger that we all face. Because when things don't go right, or things happen that just aren't supposed to be, or it shouldn't have done, or this, then we collapse the whole viewpoint on ourselves. But I looked, and there was somebody once asked me, and again, I go to the situation with my dad. Boy, you must really be hurt. You must really be, and I love the projection, you know, you must. I said, no, not really. Because you know something? I never knew a dad who beat me. I never was berated by a dad. I never saw, and there were a lot of things I could go in that direction. And that is so true. But on the other hand, I didn't have an example. I didn't have these things. But you know, that's the way God works. Who am I to wrestle against and go against what God has done? And God is glorified in it all. So just because something doesn't go like I want, just so I don't have what I have, or I don't get what I want. Ooh. I look and say, you know, this squeezing, it's good for me. God's going to answer that? Yeah, not anymore. Yeah. You know how God's going to answer that prayer for patience? He's going to put you in a situation where you have to manifest patience. You ever pray for love for somebody else that's really difficult or very hard? You know how He's going to answer that prayer? He's going to put you in a situation with that person to help you to love that person. I love God doing that. Not really, but yes, I do. I must. Because He's God and He knows what we need. He knows what we need. When you look at the passage of Scripture, David writes, and if there's anybody who was in trial at the hand of Saul, hand of his own men, having to be in caves and out in the wilderness and even despised by his brothers. Remember that when he came to the Goliath situation, his brother said, oh, you're just, go away. Look what David writes. I will go to the Lord my God, my joy. Will praise you with all my heart. Oh God, my God, why are you downcast? Why are you disturbed? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. All right. The other passages of Scripture, I'm going to let you look at that on your own. But the main one there I put in highlight for you is James 1:2. Number two, be strengthened. This is more of the outcome. This is more of the result. But it also means if you are going, if the result is going to be that you are ultimately strengthened, matured, then that means during the process, you're going to have to be strong, maturing, and handling it. We go again, James 1, 3, and 4. Are you still there? Yeah. Verses 3 and 4.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
All right. So I took a picture of one of my workouts, and I wish. Yeah, I know. But I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. But the reason this person is developing the muscles and reducing the fat is because he is being strengthened as he exercises those muscles. You have spiritual muscles that God is going to cause you to exercise and to use. And when it comes to areas of your Christian life, relationships, witnessing, things that you find are difficult for you to do, God is going to help you to overcome those weaknesses or those insecurities or those faults and those flaws, so he can mold you and shape you so that you are able to be a stronger, more faithful witness for Christ and be further conformed to the image of his dear son. Is anybody in Romans 5? Is anybody in Romans 5? Okay, Kathy, could you read verses 3 and 4 for us there? Keep one more.
And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us.
Okay. So you can see the benefits that come as a result of these trials, the trying of your faith, the testings. It was George Mueller. George Mueller was a missionary, and he had an orphanage. And you talk about a man of prayer, you talk about a man of faith. If we desire our faith to be strengthened, we should not shrink from opportunities where our faith may be tried, and therefore, through trial, be strengthened. So it's not the, oh no, it's, okay, thank you, Lord. The song that we sang opening the Sunday school hour, Ron Hamilton stated, being thankful. That's coming up in our morning sermon, so I'm seeing the correlation here. Let's move on. Number 3, be wise. You know, when you look at James 1, verse 5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, he upbraids not. Why does that follow after trials? Because there's times you don't know how to handle the trial. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. And he would rather have you turn to the place of God, to the ways of God, because going outside of the areas of God, you're going to potentially get either bad advice, or you're going to find certain circumstance situations that are not going to be beneficial and helpful. They can actually be very detrimental. So if I'm having difficulty with my car, I won't go to my dentist. Okay? So if I want to buy ice cream, I don't think I'm going to go over to the pet store, right? So with the trials and troubles and tribulations, you go to the source. If God is bringing these, if God is allowing these, then it is God who's going to know how to help you through this, because you're weak. I am weak. I need God's help. And so, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Boy, how many times in trial do we, oh, that's right, I should pray about this. Oh, that's right, I should search the scriptures. Many times we get, oh, and our first resort, God. And it becomes almost our last resort. By the way, it says, happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding, Proverbs 3:13. Interesting. Lastly, be helpful. Be helpful. When you come through trials, it's not only going to strengthen your faith, but God may use that in a situation which somebody else may be encountering. I've had numerous conversations over the course of ministry where somebody had come and they really were bearing under and having such a difficulty or trial of pressures and problems. And I said, well, in going through this, God can get you through it. But you know something? God may be doing this to help you to be a more faithful, effective minister to somebody else. Think about that for a moment. There are certain events and circumstances that have happened in my life. And God has been able to use that to minister to people. When I share some things about my past or so forth, you wouldn't understand. You're not listening. I said, well, I understand completely, and I am listening because let me share with you where I've been. Really? And there's a connection point now. You never know who God's going to bring into your life to be able to help you to minister after you have come through a certain trial or a certain trouble or a certain tribulation. I look around our auditorium and I know all of you, almost every one of you. I could probably point out there's either one or two or three or four trials, troubles, tribulations, testings that you're encountering, whether it's short, whether it's long, whether it's severe, whether it's light, whether it's collective or individual, or whether it's relational, physical, whatever. But all I would say is this. God never makes any mistakes. And I'll end this with the two verses of Scripture. The fining pot is for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord tries the hearts. And then that should be not Proverbs, that should be Job. But he knows the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Do you believe that? Trials. That's the purpose and that's the reason. All right, we're going to have to close it from there. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Get ready for the morning service at 10:45. Father, thank you so much for the joys and the blessings and the ways in which you do work in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you promise in the midst of everything, you will never leave. You will never forsake us. And Lord, we know that there is no temptation taken us, but just as common to man. But we also know that you are faithful and you will not deliver us into a temptation or a trial or a trouble that we cannot handle, but will with that trial, trouble, tribulation, testing, bring us through it and strengthen us in it and purify us more fully. So thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here, would like to help set up some tables downstairs for the lunch, follow Jim downstairs, and he'll help you to know how that is going to be accomplished. So we'll plan and look forward to the morning service starting at 10:45.
Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen to this message from the Word of God. I do trust that it was indeed a blessing to your heart. As I mentioned at the beginning of this recording, I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to enter a relationship with God by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you've not yet done so. It is God's desire for you to know Him personally. And thankfully, you can have the absolute confidence, the full assurance, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you know God and that you're on your way to heaven. Please contact me at the church office at 908-788-2672 so we can talk directly about your being absolutely sure you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, and that you have a relationship with God. You can also visit our website at hbcflemington.org and click on the link on the homepage at the top left corner entitled God's Free Gift. You can also learn more about our ministry by navigating the different links on the homepage. Let me also take this opportunity to invite you to attend any of our church services. Our Sunday school hour begins at 9:30 a.m. Our morning worship service begins at 10:45 a.m. Our evening worship service begins at 6 p.m. And our Wednesday Bible study, prayer service, and Truth Trackers Children's Ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thank you again for the privilege to minister to you today. If I could be of any further help, please do not hesitate to contact me. Have a great day.